Well, we have been in a series of being rooted, and the idea is growing deep roots because we live in a shallow world, and so we want to stay strong. We talked about the first week being rooted in Christ and how everything is dependent upon that. Then we talked about being rooted in His Word, God's Word, rooted in prayer, rooted in community. Last week we talked about being rooted in obedience. James says, if you hear these things and you don't do these things, what good is it? You know, we have to live out our faith. We have to live out our walk. Well, today I want to talk about the final answer. Why does God even want us rooted in the first place? Is it just to hang on by the skin of our teeth? Is it just to hang in there? What's it for? God wants us rooted, I think, because roots are really not even the goal. The roots are not even the goal. We don't even see roots. When you plant something, you don't see the root. What we want to see is the fruit. And so God wants us rooted so that we could be better fruit bearers. I want to read a familiar scripture to all of us, and it's out of Matthew chapter 28. This is verses 19 and 20. It's part of our, where we get a three-point Bible church, what our mission is. It says this, starting in verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of this age. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. I love this. He says, therefore go and make disciples and do these things. But then he says this, and be sure of this, I am with you always. I'm there. I'm not just sending you out and saying, hey, good luck. I'm not just kicking you out the door saying, hey, I've done my part. Now you go do your part. No, it says he will be with us all the way through there. It's not just a command. We call it the Great Commission. We're commanded to do this. But it's more than a command. It's an invitation. God is inviting us to be kingdom makers, kingdom builders. It's an invitation to live a life that multiplies what God has planted. And God never plants roots deep without intending fruit. Depth and mission are not opposites here. They belong together. And so the first thing I just want us to understand in this section here is fruit is what the result of these healthy roots is. God wants us rooted. He wants us healthy. That's why he says start with Jesus, then go to the Word, then we're going to go to prayer, then we're going to go to community, the body of Christ, then we're going to obey and do what he says, and we're going to lean on each other, and we're going to encourage each other. And that leads us to this, so we could bear fruit, that we could be salt, that we could be light to this world, a city on the hill. Jesus says in John chapter 15, he says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. Notice what Jesus didn't say. He says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, that brings glory. He didn't say, hey, strain harder, try harder, force the results, grab the people, just shake them, try and produce your fruit. Have you ever noticed that the most important part of a tree is the part you never see? The healthy roots. If something gets into the roots, whether it's a disease or if it's a worm or if it's a beetle or if it's something, it will eventually destroy the plant. And that's why he's saying you have to have healthy roots. How does this apply to us? Well, nobody sees your quiet time with God. I don't have, your iPhone may be watching you, but I promise you I am not. I am not sneaking in there saying like, woo. Melvin missed his prayer time this morning. I'm not keeping score. No one sees your early morning prayer time. Nobody sees the quiet obedience that you do behind the scenes when nobody's looking. The way you serve, the way you love. No one sees the scripture that you're meditating on. Nobody sees these things, but God sees it. Heaven sees it, and eventually fruit is born from that. When we stay connected to Christ, what happens? Our character grows. Our love deepens. We start to love those that are unlovely or unlovable. Our faith is strengthened. Our impact starts to increase. And fruit isn't manufactured. This is something that is cultivated. And so we tend to our roots by staying in God's Word, staying in constant prayer and contact with God and communication. And it all goes down to Jesus. That's where our healthy roots come from. Remember the story of the fig tree when Jesus was hungry and he came across and the fig tree had all the leaves on it but no fruit? What'd he do? Cursed it. I don't want to be an unfruitful fruit tree. Because fruit, the second thing, fruit is our character and it's our impact. Fruit is our character and impact. It's what people see, but it's also, it gives us the impact, the influence that we have on people. Fruit has two purposes, if you think of fruit. If you think of an apple or an orange, pick any fruit you want. A date, a plum, I don't care. It has flavor and it has seeds. The flavor is the character of the fruit. Oh, it's tart. Oh, it's tangy. Oh, it's sweet. Oh, it's juicy. That's the character. The seeds help the fruit to multiply. The apple seeds, like Johnny, he throws out the apple seeds and the apple trees grow. So there's two things there. It's talking about what is the flavor that you are providing to the world by the spiritual fruit that is being born in your life. What are the people tasting when they see you? And the other thing, how is it being multiplied? What seeds are you planting with that fruit? The inner fruit that we have is who we're becoming in Christ. Through our disciplines, through our meditation, through our prayer times, through our just getting together with each other and iron sharpening iron. It's this opportunity for this inner fruit, who we are becoming. But this outer fruit that we have is what people see. And that's what people judge. And that's what people will look at you and say, do I want to be part of the kingdom that there is on display in their life? Or is what they're displaying in their life something I don't want to be a part of? And that's that outer fruit. Love, joy, and peace. That's the flavor of Jesus. To have love and joy and peace. The seed of Christ is going and making disciples. How are we influencing others? Are we mentoring others? Are we mentoring each other? In Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes down, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. What is the fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then he says, against these things, there is no law. There is no law against these things. It speaks of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness. If we go to Matthew, back where we read Matthew 28, it talks about going. It talks about loving. It talks about teaching. It talks about making disciples. There's this inner fruit, the character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. But the outer fruit in Matthew tells us, okay, now we need to spread those seeds. How are we going to spread the seeds? By going where he sends us. By loving others, by teaching others, by making disciples, by pouring and mentoring into their lives. God wants to grow Christ-like character in all of us. And he wants this Christ-centered impact to happen through us. So God is continuing to going to increase our flavor as we spend time with him and we just cultivate our roots deeper and deeper and deeper into him. He's going to continue to change us from the inside out. But then the outside has got to make an impact. And that goes back to last week with James. If we hear these things and God, give me patience. God, give me peace. God, make me your disciple. And he does. And then you just sit there on it. What good is that? There's two things to the seed. The character and the flavor of the seed, but also the multiplication of the seed. What are you planting in people's lives? Number three, our mission doesn't flow from like, okay, I think I'm ready, so now I'm going to go out on my own strength. Our mission flows from abiding in Christ and not under pressure. We started this whole series off with talking about where we have to be connected to the vine, that all of our strength, all of our character, everything comes from what flows from the vine into us. And Jesus is that vine. He's the true vine. And there's a difference between pumping water and overflowing water. When you pump water, what do you have to do? There's strain, right? There's effort. My grandmother used to have a well that you'd have to go prime the pump. You know, they used to have to use the bathroom outside in a thing too. By thing, I meant like an outhouse, but not like just a thing. I guess you could use the thing, but you'd have to go and prime the pump just to get water to run into the house. They also had out there where the hogs were, they had like a spigot coming out of the ground, but it wasn't one that you could turn like at our house. It's one you had to sit there and pump like this. And when you're an eight-year-old kid, those things are like, it's like never worked. And your uncle would sit there and point at you and laugh at how weak you were. You need to be out on the farm, son. It's like, yeah, whatever. And his name's Buddy, Uncle Buddy. Hey, Buddy. Get off my back, you know, kind of thing. No, I love him, though. But overflowing is what Christ is talking about us. What does overflowing mean? It's like the river where it just kind of comes in. There's no pressure or whatever. But what happens is it's just so full, it just overflows. And when Christ flows into our lives, it's supposed to just overflow out of us. Not something that we're trying to force, not something that we're trying to pump and work hard for. The work's already been done. When our heart is full of Christ, what happens? Encouragement comes naturally. How many of you were here when we started, we did the study on unoffendable? Anybody remember that, unoffendable? I've started redoing it again, and it's amazing some of the insights in there that I was unoffendable for a little bit after we did that. But then I quickly became just like the world. I became offendable over everything. So now that I'm doing this, I'm noticing, like, when I'm driving, I'm much calmer because I'm expecting the people to cut me off. I'm expecting the person to not put their shopping cart back. I'm expecting this because that's how we all behave. And so since I expect that, when they don't do that, when someone lets me go out first, or when somebody lets me cut in line because I only have one thing of milk and they've got, you know, like six baskets of stuff that they're about to pay for, and they say, hey, you go ahead of me. And I'm like, okay, thank you. That's like gravy. That's like cherry on the top, because that's not expected. What's expected is it's me, it's mine, I'm first. I'm the most important thing in my life. But when your heart is full of Christ, what happens? This encouragement comes naturally. I'm not offended by the world. Christ wasn't offended by the world. In fact, he loved you so much that even when we were offending him and offending everybody else, he loved us. When our heart is full of Jesus and it flows out of us, compassion comes naturally. Courage comes naturally. We're not so fearful anymore. Some people hear the word mission. And when we hear say like, hey, we need to be on mission, you're like, oh, I wish he'd quit talking about mission. And you start to feel overwhelmed. Okay, what's Paul going to ask us to do? Is he either going to ask us to give something, or is he going to ask us to go somewhere, or is he going to ask us to, I don't know, what are you talking about, Paul? Sometimes you picture standing out on the street with some tracks going like, have you heard the word of God? If you died today, do you know where you'll go? And people just passing you by, not making eye contact, like you're the homeless guy on the street that nobody wants to even be around. Some people picture that. Some people think like, okay, they're going to send me overseas somewhere, probably to a country that I have no idea what they're saying. And God, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to speak that language. Sometimes you think like, well, I can't do it because I'm an introvert. And so naturally, I'm shy, I'm not bold, and so, God, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to bring up Jesus. I don't know how to bring up these things in my life. But Jesus says this. In Galatians, it says this, and are in our scripture that we just talked about in Matthew. Be sure of this, I am with you, how long? always, to the end of the age. Until I come back and me and you are standing face to face, I'm there with you now. You don't have to be afraid. I'll help you. I'll tell you what to say. Mission is not about what doing more for Christ. Okay, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? It's like, oh, I got to be doing something. What mission is, it's living from what God is already doing in you. Sharing your story, sitting down with someone, and someone says, tell me how you came to Jesus. Well, tell them your story. I'll tell you what another mission could be. You've got a neighbor that's struggling with an issue in their life, and you just go over and sit with them. You haven't even said a word. You're already on mission just being there in their presence. You're giving them hope. You're giving them comfort. You're giving them confidence. Maybe you're just giving them a shoulder to just lash out on. Maybe that's the mission God has called you to. Maybe God has called you to be a missionary in your home. Maybe God wants you to open up your Bible and maybe for your spouse or for your grandchildren or for your children, and he wants you to start to do a study. Hey, guys, let's get together and let's just say a prayer at the evening meal. Hey, guys, I want to share a scripture with you today. Maybe that's a mission God's called you to. Not to somewhere far away to people you don't know. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe God has put you in that job that you despise some days for the very reason that you are that point of light. And somebody is going to come in there, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not the next day, but somebody is going to come in there and you're going to cross paths with someone that you're going to influence, whether good or whether bad. And that's your mission. To live out the life that Christ is blessing you with wherever you're at. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. As we sit around the fire, oftentimes the guys, we talk about many different issues and things, and we're transparent with each other, and we try to go deeper with each other. But one of the things that came up was, you know what? God has put us all in neighborhoods. All in neighborhoods. How many of us really know our neighbors? And I'm not just talking about maybe one or two. How many really know the people in your neighborhood? Maybe God is calling you to, you know what? I'm going to grill out hamburgers and hot dogs. And I'm thinking about doing this. I was telling Margie about this. I was thinking, David Bice like lives right across the street from me. I was thinking about like, hey man, what we're going to do is I'm going to get David to bring his little mini drum set over. And I'll have my guitar and keyboard, and we're going to invite people to come to our backyard. We're going to grill out hot dogs or hamburgers. I mean, if Steve does this, he'll probably have steaks, you know, and things like that. But you know, pastor on a pastor salary, it's going to be hot dogs or beans, you know, something like that. And just kind of sing, you know, and it doesn't even have to be church songs. It could just be like, man, I just want to fellowship with you guys. I want to build a relationship with you guys. Maybe God has called you to your neighborhood. Maybe God has called you to restore some relationships that you've let fracture in your life. And you went, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let them make the first move. And then when they make the first move, I'm going to judge whether or not they were sincere or not. Mission should come from an overflow, not something that we're forcing, not from pressure, not from burnout. Our mission to love God, to love others, and to make disciples should be out of an overflow for what God has done for us in our lives. You don't have to go far to travel, to live on mission. You just have to be faithful for where God has put you. And everybody's mission is going to look different. A mom, maybe, who reads scripture in the morning may not ever stand up here and preach a sermon, but later that day when the child melts down or something happens, maybe patience flows out of her. That's mission in the living room. What about someone who you abide in Christ at work? And you don't force these spiritual conversations, but when a co-worker begins to struggle, you have peace and you have wisdom ready to share. That maybe that's mission in the office that God has called you to. One thing about this and about these roots that I want us to understand about fruit and everything, God uses ordinary people to produce this extraordinary fruit. I've heard, we're in the book of Proverbs, and you know, Proverbs are those sayings, and we grew up with many Proverbs. Mine was, if you fall out of a tree and break your arm, don't you come home, don't you come crying to me. I'll give you something to cry about. That was a proverb I grew up with. Some of the things that we had, like, I can't even remember, Sandra. A stitch in time saves nine. A penny saved is a penny earned. You know, we grew up with this wisdom that is to kind of help us navigate life or something like that. One of the proverbs, I guess, that I heard was, God does not call the equipped. What God does is equipped who he's called. In other words, you don't have to have all the answers. God already has the answers. You just have to be available, and God will give you what you need. Jesus uses the example of a mustard seed. Remember what he said about the mustard seed? It's the smallest of all of the seeds. It's almost unimpressive. But Jesus says it grows into one of the biggest plants. It grows into something significant. Think of the disciples and the seeds that were planted in them. The disciples, they weren't famous. They weren't powerful. They weren't perfect. They were from all kinds of different backgrounds. But what they were rooted. They were available. And they were obedient, following what the Master said. And God used those disciples to change the world. God will use you if you make yourself available. This fruit that God is bearing in us is not about our ability. It's about our availability. Are you open to do what God has called you to do? To move where God has called you to move? Maybe it's just one conversation, one invitation, one act of kindness, one prayer. Small seeds just planted carefully, they produce these eternal results. And that's what we need to understand. We are planting seeds, and the fruit is being born. And so for 3 points, a rooted church becomes a fruitful church. Imagine going into your neighborhood where every porch light is on at night. It changes the whole street. David and I often have this conversation on our street that we live in between like two different neighborhoods. There's like the Indian Hills, there's the, I don't know, whatever else, but the three roads that we live on is called Orchard Hills, and it's just three little roads, and they're all named after his daughter, the builder. The builder's daughter. And there ain't a light on our road. And there's a turn, and cars will come sailing down there like really, really fast. And there's a stop sign right as you cross this one little hill. It's dangerous, especially at night when the moon is out and, you know, not bright, and it's dark out there to the point where sometimes me and David have stood out there with pine cones, and when a car went speeding by, we'd thrown them and yelled at them and said, slow down, because we had little kids at that time. I would not advise you to do that. That is not a fruit of the Spirit. God has convicted me of that. Now Margie throws them. I don't have to. But can you imagine all of a sudden the lights being on at the street? It illuminates everything. It makes everything brighter. It gives you hope. And when a church is rooted, what happens? Love becomes visible. People see how we love each other. People see how we deal with one another. Faith becomes attractive. Oh, I want what they have. I want to be like that. What makes you so different? Well, it's nothing that I'm doing. It's what Christ is doing in me. And the gospel becomes something tangible, not just something that we read about. It becomes something that we live out. People don't just hear about Jesus here. They see Jesus here. People may not understand theology and all of the Greek and the Hebrew and Aramaic words, but you know what they do understand? They understand kindness. And our fruit is born in us so that the world can experience the love of God. When God called his people Israel and he set them apart, he says, you are to be a light to all of the nations. And at times they were great at that and they shone brilliantly, but a lot of times they did not. our fruit, what God is calling us to, is so that the world will come to know Him through us, through the fruit that we bear. So how do we do that, Paul? How do we apply this? I've read this verse, and we may be talking about going back to Ecuador this year, or there may be another mission trip, and you're saying, like, okay, I'm kind of nervous, but maybe I'll sign up to actually go on a mission trip. Well, maybe that's what God is calling you to do, but maybe someone is calling you to go sit with a coworker at your work that usually eats their lunch alone. Maybe that's the mission God's called you to. Maybe there's a neighbor in your neighborhood that's going through a divorce, and you know the situation that's going on with their family, and, don't go over there with all kind of advice. Well, if you'd only done this, if y'all just prayed together, a family that prays together stays together. There's another one of those proverbs. It's not promised. Sounds good. We talked about that this morning. I mean, how many of us have prayed with our families and prayed with our families, and yet we've seen children go different directions? What about the cousin of yours that drifted from church, doesn't want anything to do with church anymore? Or maybe there's a child that needs encouragement. That maybe that's where God is calling you. Just one person, one step at a time. Just one name, one prayer, one act of love. In fact, that's how forests grow. That's how our plants grow. It starts with just one seed, planting one seed, and from that one seed, the tree or the fruit grows, and then from that, the many fruit, then more and more, and it multiplies, and that's God's kingdom. It multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. You don't have to reach everyone. You don't have to reach everyone. You just have to be faithful to someone. So your homework, what is it, Mission Impossible? Your assignment, if you choose to accept it, which you do, is to think of one name. Think of one person. Think of one person this week. And I want you to just pray for that person daily. Don't call them up and say, hey, I'm praying for you every day. You may want to call them and say, hey, you've been on my heart. How can I pray for you specifically? And if they say, like, oh, I'm going through this, or, hey, I've got it all together. If they say they got it all together, you know they're lying. Pray for their soul for being liars. But if they're not, find out what I can do. Put that one person down, just one person. And I want you to pray for that person each day this week. I want you to look for an opportunity to show Christ's love. I don't know what that would look like. Maybe it's you letting someone cut in front of you in the grocery line. Maybe it's you letting someone in front of you in traffic. I don't know what that looks like for you, but look for an opportunity to show Christ's love. And then I want you to trust God with the results, because He is the one that cultivates and nourishes. Our role is just to be faithful. His role is to bring forth the fruit. And so as we get ready to close this whole series, I want us to understand that our church, my prayer for Three Point Bible Church is that we would be a church that is deeply rooted in Christ, that we are genuinely loving people, loving others, and loving Christ, that we are quietly faithful in our attendance, in our giving, in our serving, in all of the things that we do. And because of that, that we are powerfully fruitful with what is happening with God's word here, that we're not chasing numbers, we're not driven by any pressure, but we are overflowing with this love and the life that Christ has given to us. Because deep roots, being deeply rooted and connected to the vine, will produce lasting fruit in our lives. Father, I just thank you for growing us deep. Father, my prayer this morning is that you would send us out and let our lives bear fruit that brings you glory and draws others to Jesus. Father, I pray that you would use us right now, right here, right where we are. And Father, we pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.